Harper Audio presents Your Money or Your Life, written and read by Neil Cavuto. Copyright 2005 by Neil Cavuto. Production copyright 2005 by HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. Your money, but not your whole life. One of the issues I wrestle with every day in my profession is money versus life. What does money matter if you're sick or even worse, dead? What does all the wealth in the world matter if you have no one with whom to share it? One of my biggest challenges in doing my job is figuring out how to handle the show on those days when something horrible has happened before my hour. It could be a plane crash, a terrorist act, a kidnapping, you name it. Suddenly, in those moments, a show that talks about money seems to matter less, and the potential for appearing callous and indifferent bothers me more. That's why I argue to my bosses at Fox that mine is the toughest job at Fox, keeping loyal news viewers loyal to a business product as well. It is a tough juggling act, but I try to keep it simple. For me, it is not about the money, stupid. It is about life, stupid. Everything's intertwined. Everything's connected. Our lives, our money, our everything. That's why I always remind my staff that we should never forget the value of life first and doing something with it second. It's why I like to put things in perspective. I've never hidden the fact that I've dealt with illness in my life. First cancer, now multiple sclerosis. I'm no stranger to the ravages of illness. Many in my family succumbed years ahead of their time. Sadly, such things have shaped me and made me as a man and as a journalist. They're why I can be such a sentimental mush. I am moved easily. I cry even more easily. Such are not the qualities you'd expect in a tough, seasoned journalist. But I argue to the contrary. They have helped make me a better journalist, more willing to think outside the box. Well, perhaps because I know that in the end, we'll all end up in a box. Now, that sounds strange, I know, and I don't mean to come off as grim or glum, just as a guy who sees life as a fleeting, wonderful opportunity to be savored and enjoyed. But most important, to be put in perspective. It's why some in my business have called me the anti-business reporter. They're partly right. I'm not just about numbers and figures. I'm not married to earnings and acronyms. I am married to life and to everyday lessons. Things that don't change like profit reports, but from which we can all profit immensely. Nowhere and at no time in my career have these two issues, money and life, collided as they did on September 11, 2001. The sheer enormity of the disaster defined generations and seared our conscience in a way that few events ever had. Ostensibly, my job as a business reporter was to give the financial take on this disaster. Clearly, the site of the New York attack, but a stone's throw from the center of capitalism itself, was no accident. The World Trade Center embodied that capitalism. Indeed, it housed many of its most prominent players. But I couldn't look at this as just a financial event. I had interviewed too many of the very people who died that day, some of whom had been on my show just days earlier. No, this was more than simply a loss of financial capital. This was an enormous loss of human capital. I wanted that to be the story, and my message was to tell that story, again and again. The cruelty of it, the barbarity of it, the senselessness of it. I was sure then we would recover from that tragic day, but I wanted to remind all that this was about good and evil that day. Some say it's not a business journalist's job to blather on about such issues. I disagreed then, I disagree now. After all, from my days back at CNBC more than a decade ago, I had no problem putting my emotion into my work then. I have had no problem putting my heart into the stories, particularly tragic stories like 9/11 since. One could argue that anchors must be passive, even emotionless observers. By that definition, I guess I do not measure up. But in covering this story, from its sad first moments to the legions of funerals and eulogies and tragic anniversaries that would follow, I'd cover it somewhat differently, not as a television anchor, but as something more, a human being. After the Terror, Searching, Hoping, September 18, 2001. Finally this hour, a small perspective on a huge event. A few little things that may help make sense of this big national pain. So many of you have shared so many wonderful stories that speak volumes on the American spirit. Like Sally Ann Novak from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, who tells me of taking her mom out to lunch just to, as she says, get away from the television for a while.